Our learning will be for Rifu Shlema, for Tuvia Zev Ben Chaya Rifka. So tonight, I think we're going to we'll finish Shabbos. We've been through from Erev Shabbos all the way through Vav Malka tonight. My next topic I'd like to do is Tefillah, I think. I think that's a good next topic to focus on. It'll be Minhagi Tefillah, things to do during Tefillah. So if we have time tonight, we'll start Tefillah also. We'll see if we have time tonight. But we'll start with Vav Malka and then we'll go from there. Last week, I believe we finished everything about Havdalah, at least I have on my list over here. Someone asked about the minug of having a single girl hold the Havdalah candle to find a shidduch. I couldn't find any source for that. So I did look. I did a little searching, but I didn't see anything. Yes, so if I do find something in the future, I'll report back, but I couldn't find anything. In the farm I looked at, there's no such mention. So could be it's a Baba Maisa, but I don't know. Some Lava Malka. Lava Malka is quoted in the Gemara. Lava Malka is an obligation. The Shulchan Aruch says, "La'olam yisar adam shulchano." A person should set their table on Motzei Shabbos. Kelovos is a Shabbos to escort out the Shabbos. I feel it's tzarich el kazayis, even if you only want to eat a little bit. Meaning, Lava Malka is not about the quantity of food; it's about the honor you're giving the Shabbos. It's the atmosphere. So Lava Malka is not on the same level as the other Shabbos meals. However, there is an obligation from Lava Malka. That's an obligation derabbanan, it's not deraisa, it's from the Gemara. But one should have Lav Malka Motzei Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says it's appropriate to set the table in an honorable way. Many have the minhag to leave on the Shabbos tablecloth from Lav Malka, which is appropriate, you know, if it's still clean and nice and you're able to. You're not obligated to put lots of food, you just have what you need. But it's good to have something special from Lav Malka. So a lot of us will just maybe, you know, you grab whatever. It's nice to have something special, if possible. I mean, there's no obligation to have something special, but if you have some special food from Lava Malka, it's a nice thing to do. People have the things they like. You know, someone told me they like having matzah and cream cheese in Lava Malka. I like chicken soup usually. I have leftover soup from Shabbos, I always enjoy Lava Malka. But everyone has the things they like, but it should be something a little more special than usual, if possible. There's also an Indian to leave on your Shabbos clothes from Lava Malka. It's all part of the honor of escorting out the queen. And that's really the atmosphere. What you're trying to do is that you're trying to say, Shabbos to me is very special. Shabbos is leaving. I want to be sure I escort Shabbos out in the proper way. So you're giving Shabbos the royal send-off, basically, on Motzei Shabbos. It's nice to wash from Lava Malka if possible. If you're not so hungry, it's okay. You can just have mazonos or even just fruits. That's also okay as well. If you're, you know, if you're fairly hungry and you can, it's nice to wash. So it could be in the winter when you finish Shabbos at 5 and you want to have Lava Malka at, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, you're hungry. In the summer when Shabbos ends, you just have Shabbos at 8:30 and then it's 9:30 and you're ready for Lava Malka, you're not so hungry. So it could depend on the time of year. But washing is definitely a nice thing. That creates more of an honorable suda to escort out the queen. There is a concept that it's good to have Lava Malka closer to Havdalah if possible. If you're not hungry, it's okay to push it off. So that's really based on your... So if you're able to, it's nice to have it early. Again, most of us at that point are not ready yet to sit down and have more food. So it's probably easier to push it off a little bit later, to have Lava Malka then. Ideally, you shouldn't wait till after Chatzos HaLaila from Lava Malka. So, I mean, this time of year is probably about, I don't know, 12:30 or 1. So ideally, you shouldn't wait that late, which most of us don't. But you should do before Chatzos. There is a minhag to have out candles from Lava Malka. Again, that gives it that kavod, that honor. Many of the minhag to use the Havdalah candle to light other candles, and that kind of carries on the light of Shabbos into the week. So this idea of candles from Lava Malka is not necessarily, doesn't have to be connected to the Havdalah candle, it could be separate candles, but it's nice to have candles out to have that Shabbos atmosphere from Lava Malka. The interesting halacha that people aren't aware of, if Shalosh Shudas extends past nightfall, past Tzeis, you can then have in mind that this should also qualify as Lava Malka as well. So you can kill two birds with one stone in that way. So having a very long Shalosh Shudas, and you're still eating food after Tzeis, you can kind of have in Kavana that this is Lava Malka too, and you've actually been Yotze that, but both meals at once. So that could be some Eitzah for us when we're too full to have two meals, maybe have Shalosh Shudas a little bit longer, and you have Kavana from Lava Malka too. The Gemara says that, again, it's not an obligation, but it's a proper thing. The Gemara says that it's healthy to have warm water on Motzei Shabbos. They say that coffee and tea also would fulfill this idea. There's something about the warmth of the water on Motzei Shabbos that's healthy for a person. Rashi explains it to be both for drinking and for bathing. So most of us do like to have a shower Motzei Shabbos, and that's part of the warm water Motzei Shabbos. And to drink something warm is considered a nice thing. So you have a coffee, a tea, a hot chocolate, you know, maybe soup, if you count also, I don't know. But those things will all qualify as this concept of the Gemara that it's good to have something warm. Again, that's not an obligation. That's a nice thing, but that's that the Gemara suggests that. There is a concept not to get involved in any consuming molacha prior to Mlava Malka, which can be difficult sometimes. It's mostly Shabbos, and you have things in your mind to do. So you're allowed to do malacha. I mean, you set up dull, you can turn on lights, you can do basically, you can clean the dish, wash the dishes from Shabbos, but to get involved in any sort of like job that sort of consumes you, any sort of, let's say, very overwhelming task, it's better to avoid before Mlava Malka. So, I don't know, so any sort of, like, you know, home improvement project or, like, you know, sewing or, like, things like that that might take more focus and more involvement, those are better to delay till after Mlava Malka. And the point is that, because the Kedusha of Shabbos is still in your home until you've escorted it out. So if Shabbos ends and I go straight to doing all these different jobs that I have in my mind, so I've taken Shabbos and shoved it out the door. See you later, you know, sayonara, good riddance, and that's it. If I kind of like keep the Shabbos atmosphere going in my house longer, so then I'm giving Shabbos the proper send-off. So that has to do with the honor of the meal, has to do with the candles, has to do with the table, also has to do with the way we're acting. If I go back right away to like total weekday mode, so I've basically shoved Shabbos out of the house and said, get out of here. If I kind of slowly, gradually go back to my normal everyday tasks, so then I'm keeping Shabbos with me a little bit longer, which is really my goal. And then the goal of Malka is to kind of keep that feeling with you as long as possible. Now, I mentioned the mashal last week, but I think it's important to mention it again. Rav Volba says the mashal of the space shuttle. You know, it shoots off into the space, and then the most dangerous part of the mission at times is coming back into Earth. You know, when you come back into the atmosphere, that has to be done properly, or else the space shuttle can burn up. So it's the same thing with, you know, when you leave Shabbos, you want that letdown from Shabbos to be done properly, so that Shabbos really stays with you. Now, this concept in general, I think, is an important concept to think about. And there are many places in Yiddishkeit where we stress how to leave an event. So Motzei Shabbos is one of these places. There's a halacha when you're done with Shemar Esrei. You're taking 3 steps back. Which foot do you start with? Anybody know?
Left.
The left foot. Left. And why is that?
It's the least important. It's the chashav as your right.
Right, so you're trying to show my left foot's the weakest foot. And you know, I'm a little bit hesitant to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And I'm davening right now. And I have to, you know, you have to stop davening at some point. You can't daven forever. But, you know, I'm standing before Hashem, and it's so special to be there. I don't want to just, like, rush out of it. So using my right foot first would be symbolizing that, like, I can't wait to get out of here. My left foot's saying, you know, I'm a little bit hesitant about stepping back. I need to. But I'm not going to, like, rush out of it. It's a similar idea, because you want to maintain that attitude that davening to me is so precious. I don't want to leave davening, but I have to. Shabbos is so precious, I don't want to leave Shabbos, but I have to. You know, when the Jews are at Har Sinai, so they had to leave Har Sinai. Hashem told them it's time to go. But we know that Klai Yisrael is blamed for running away from Har Sinai, like a kid running away from school. You know, if you ever watch a school, I'm sure the teachers in the room know, you know, look at the clock 2 minutes before the bell's ringing, they're ready to go get their bags, and they zoom out with their coats in their hands, and they put the coats on, and say, I can't wait to get out to the carpool. So Klai Yisrael Har Sinai had that feeling. You know, they raced away from Har Sinai. That's what Chazal tell us. And they're supposed to go. Hashem told them it's time to go. But there's an attitude in that when I'm leaving something special, I don't race away. I have to feel a little bit, I feel a little sad, it's a little bittersweet. I hesitate. I have to go, but I want to maintain the feeling. I want to maintain the experience. There's a halacha also. Women don't know this, but for tefillin, when you take your tefillin off, you use your left hand as well. When you take off your tefillin, shel rosh. For the same reason. Because your right hand is your strong hand, you whip it off. I can't wait to get these things off my head. Take off your left hand. It's, you know, I have to take it off now. It's time to take the tefillin off. But like, I don't want to rush out of it. I want to do it in a way that shows that I'm not so excited to stop Hashem's mitzvah. So Motzei Shabbos is really this feeling. It's the feeling that Shabbos is over, and Shabbos has to end. You know, there's a weekday and there's Shabbos, and now it's Motzei Shabbos. I said Abdullah, but I want Shabbos to linger a little bit longer. I want the feelings to stick with me. I want that aura and that kavod to still be part of my house, even Motzei Shabbos. And I'm showing Hashem how special this is to me. Now, it also works the other way. There's a concept of rushing into mitzvos as soon as possible. We know that this idea of Tosefes Shabbos, taking in Shabbos early, because I can't wait for Shabbos. I'm so excited. I just got to take it in early. There's a concept of running into shul. Now, there's an idea that the Gemara says you should run to davening because you're so excited to get to davening. You're not going to like just walk there slowly and casually walk in. You run to shul. You're so excited to be there. There's a pasuk that says near to fel adas Hashem. We run to know Hashem. You run to a mitzvah. So when Shabbos comes in, you race to it. It's what we say in Zmira, Samrachim Matzis Mina Shabbos, those who delay leaving Shabbos, Maharin Lavo, and those who come into Shabbos as quick as possible. Because when it's something that's so special that you love, you race into it. When it's something which you don't want to leave, you kind of linger, don't leave it too fast. I've never seen this as the halacha, but it makes sense. In Shemana Esrei, when you take your 3 sets back to start Shemana Esrei, I would think you should use your right foot. Because you want to show that I'm excited to start Shemana Esrei. So I use my strongest foot to start that. And then when I'm done, I use my left foot to leave Shemana Esrei because I'm sad to leave. So Shabbos has to be that feeling, that I'm very excited to start Shabbos, and I'm very sad to leave Shabbos. And we have to leave it in the right way. If you leave it in the right way, then that inspiration will stick with you. If you leave it in the wrong way, so then you lose the inspiration and the covet of Shabbos. So it's an important attitude to have on Motzei Shabbos. I think for most of us, it's a challenge because even if you like Shabbos, we have a lot to do. We have busy lives. Motzei Shabbos is a time where we want to clean up the house. We have things on our minds to take care of. We have to balance that out with the feeling that it was Shabbos, and I don't want to lose that feeling. So it's important for us to always keep that balance. I know that Rabbi Lapiansky, he's told this story before, that he used to go to hear Rav Huttner speak on Yom Tov, the Rishiva in Chaim Berlin. And he'd be there on the last day of Pesach. And they'd be in there listening to Rav Huttner speaking this beautiful mimer discussing the Yom Tov as Pesach's ending. And they'd walk outside the door of the yeshiva, and there'd be this huge line by the pizza shop. And he would say, what's the way you end the Yom Tov? If Pesach means something to you, then you're not racing to the pizza shop. Rather, you're letting the ideas of Pesach linger with you a little bit longer. I mean, which one is it? So, all of us have a lot to do Motzei Pesach also. We have to clean up the house, put the dishes back, etc. But to know Yom Tov is a special time that it should linger. We shouldn't be thinking, I can't wait to get that slice of pizza in. We should be thinking, I'm so sad that I'm losing out on this special Yom Tov. I wish it could last longer. But those are the feelings that one should have, at the end of any special experience of a Ruchnius, a Yom Tov, a Shabbos, a Davening. Those are the feelings we're supposed to be able to somehow put into ourselves. That's that idea. So the Malmaka keeps the Kedusha Shabbos. It gives us chizik for our week. And it helps to have Shabbos with us a little bit longer. So I think that's the attitude. The Mishnah Berurah says a fascinating thing, I guess it's sort of Kabbalistic. The Mishnah Berurah says, he quotes it from early sources, that's what he says Kadmonim, early sources say, that there is a limb in the body that only gets nutrition from Lava Malka. It's called the Niskoi, is the word. It's called the Niskoi. I don't know where that limb is exactly. I'm not sure which one we're talking about. But most of our limbs get nutrition the whole week long as we eat. There's this limb called the Niskoi that only is Nizon, it only gets nutrition from Lava Malka. So in this limb, he says, it doesn't deteriorate in the kever. After death, that limb remains. And it's there until Tchias HaMesim. So we know naturally the human body does deteriorate, disintegrate inside a grave. But yet this limb, this niskoi, this small limb in a person, it gets its strength from Lava Malka and doesn't disintegrate. So that's what Shabura says. It seems to be that this is the source from which we regenerate Tchias HaMesim. I mean, Tchias HaMesim, we have to understand, it's not that Hashem recreates us. Hashem sort of is putting us back together again. It's reforming us from who we already were. So we have to start from somewhere. If you're totally gone, then Hashem is recreating you. If there's still a little bit of the person left, then from that can regenerate the entire person. Even scientifically, we understand that every cell in the body could theoretically create an entire human being. Every single cell has the DNA and has the structure that it could become a whole person. Cells kind of turn themselves off and on to become different parts of the body. But as long as a little bit's left, as long as you still have that little piece of yourself which is still remaining, then you can be regenerated. So the niskoi, whatever this limb is this limb. And on Motzei Shabbos, it gets its strength, it gets its nourishment, and that remains with you forever. And Tchias HaMesim comes, that's going to regenerate the entire person. So it kind of gives us the importance of this meal. This meal actually has something to it far beyond the mitzvah, which it is, but it's giving us some sort of strength, even Tchias HaMesim. And Rav Yaakov Emden says that on Motzei Shabbos, when you're eating, really the eating is done l'shem mitzvah totally. We're not really hungry. I mean, we just had a full Shabbos, Shal Shudis. We're not hungry Motzei Shabbos. So it's an eating which really is totally l'shem shemaim. It's l'shem mitzvah. So that eating gives this limb its strength because it's a total mitzvah eating. It's not an eating of chol. It's not an eating of physicality. It's totally spiritual because why am I eating? I'm not hungry at all right now. I'm eating because I'm supposed to eat right now. Lava malka. I would add in that this meal, what we're doing, is we're still instilled with Kedushas Shabbos. We have lava malka. The Kedushas Shabbos is still with us. We haven't really left Shabbos yet, and then we eat on a weekday. So what we're doing is that this limb, which is very physical, it gets kind of the nourishment of the spiritual within the physical. It's combining the physical Motzei Shabbos with the spirituality of Shabbos still there. It's very pure. It's something which is a very spiritual eating. The truth is, spirituality never rots. The chomer, physical materials rot. They decay, they deteriorate. Things which are spiritual can't rot. They can't decay, they can't deteriorate. And the more you do which is spiritual, then the more of you remains forever. And the more physical we are, the more of us, it will disintegrate and be gone. There's a concept that the bodies of tzaddikim don't decay. To this very day, I've someone who I know has told me that he's seen this himself. He used to be involved in disinterring graves. They said he actually witnessed his own eyes, a body of a person who was buried, I don't know, 200 years ago, that was still a sholem. And the way we explain that is because if a person is very kadosh and their body becomes infused with spirituality, then that body can't decay because it's not physical, it's spiritual. Only physical things decay, but not spiritual things. So the idea of Motzei Shabbos is that the eating itself is a spiritual eating, and therefore that can remain. This limb, because it gets its nourishment from the total spiritual eating, this limb remains because this limb is kind of totally nourished by spirituality. That's this limb called the niskoi. It's a very elevated eating. There's also another deeper point over here. If we're totally gone, then again, it's not us anymore. If we're totally gone, then when Hashem recreates us, when Hashem does Chias HaMesim, it's somebody else, because that's not me. That's a new thing Hashem created that might resemble me. If we have that piece of us left, as we said, so that is me just being regenerated. So Motzei Shabbos is a time where you're trying to sort of take that spiritual part of yourself and build from it. Motzei Shabbos is a time where you just experience the Kedushah of Shabbos, the spiritual day of Shabbos. And what you did on Shabbos was pure. Eating on Shabbos is a pure eating because it's a mitzvah on Shabbos. Only Shabbos is a mitzvah. And you want to be able to put within yourself that spirituality, that ruchnius, that element of Shabbos to be with you for the entire week. And from this you build up a person. A person is built from these points within their lives. So that's the idea of this bone, the niskoi. So when you eat Motzei Shabbos, you also you're nourishing your niskoi, whatever your niskoi is. That's what you're doing. There's a minhag to mention Eliyahu Navi Motzei Shabbos and daven for Yeshua. Daven for Eliyahu Navi to come and save us and to bring Mashiach. This is quoted by the Ramah, and there's many Zmiros Motzei Shabbos that include Eliyahu Navi's name in it, because there's an idea to mention him. The Mishnah Berurah says the reason for this is because Eliyahu HaNavi, the Gemara says, won't come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, and I guess we assume he won't come on Shabbos either. So Motzei Shabbos is a time where now he can come. Now he couldn't come on Friday, he couldn't come on Shabbos, so now we're back to hoping for Eliyahu to come again. So Motzei Shabbos, we mentioned his name, we daven, he should be here, daven for Yeshua. The Torah also says that mentioning Eliyahu HaNavi Motzei Shabbos, I don't know why, but it's good for your memory, he says. I'm not sure what that does, but it's good for your memory. Also, it can bring you hatzlacha for your entire week. So there's something about it which is a segula for having a successful week. I saw also brought down, I'm not sure why either, that there's an idea of mentioning his name 130 times. So you can start counting if you want. But I mean, some of the Zmiros we sing, if you sing them, do have his name in there a bunch, but you'd have to sit there going 1, 2, 3, 4, and getting to 130 to fulfill that one. Again, I'm not sure of what the idea is that minig is brought down as meaningful. But it is a time to mention Eliyahu HaNavi's name, and realize Motzei Shabbos is a time where we're trying to set the tone for the week. You want to do things which have the nature to them to give us bracha and hatzlacha. We spoke about in Havdalah how, you know, you overflow the wine, you say psukim of bracha, and you take the wine and put it into your eyes for a week of you know, seeing good things. And we mentioned all these different simanei bracha. So Lav Malka is also like that. Motzei Shabbos is a time where you should be having things which bring bracha to yourself and to your home. There's also a minug. It's mostly done by Hasidim, but it's a minhag which is mentioned in other sources as well, which you should mention the schus of Sadiqim on Motzei Shabbos. So that there's a Hasidish minhag of telling over stories of Sadiqim on Motzei Shabbos. And in general, there's an Indian to mention the schus of Sadiqim on Motzei Shabbos, in addition to Eliyahu HaNavi, that brings bracha to our homes. I guess the simple understanding would be that if we speak about the merits of Sadiqim, that inspires us and their merit to stay with us the entire week through. So it's a good time to think about tzaddikim, tell stories, read about tzaddikim. But Motzei Shabbos is a time where the stories of tzaddikim should be part of our part of our program. That's Malav Malka. Any questions about Shabbos, Malav Malka, anything that we've spoken about? Yeah.
I also read that Malav Malka protects you from the birth pangs of Mashiach. You ever heard that?
I haven't heard that, but it could be. Definitely could be.
That if you're mocked on that, and making sure you do that, it's like a school of protection.
Interesting, okay.
Well, isn't that sort of what you're talking about with the
Niskoy?
Yeah.
A little bit, but that's more for Tchias HaMesim. That's sort of a different stage. That's when a person is going to come back. It's not during the Mashiach times. So I don't know if it's they're both about the future Yeshua, I guess, but in different ways. It could be more relevant to Eliyahu HaNavi, maybe. This idea of davening for Yeshua and Eliyahu HaNavi, maybe that fits into your idea.
Yeah, I think it was because at the time when Mashiach is about to come, it's supposed to be not a time that's a particularly pleasant time for
right.
people.
Right, right, right. So this will protect you in some way.
It protects you in some way.
Right, okay. Okay.
Anything about Olam Haba, like you do all three of those meals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, so yeah, for Shabbos meals, you're saying, yeah. It does say... If you have Oneg Shabbos and you fulfill your meals properly, then you will be Zocha. It says the Tonachlu Bimtsar Nom Haba, you'll have this unlimited inheritance, unlimited land. So there's some sort of reward relevant to Olam Haba through the Shabbos meals. That is mentioned.
But also in the Lava
Malka. Lava Malka I don't think is included in that. Not that I've seen, at least. I've seen it in terms of the Shabbos meals, mm-hmm. but not Lava Malka. It says Kol Ma'anegas HaShabbos. If you have proper Oneg Shabbos, you'll get a nachla with no limits, unlimited nachla.
Nachla meaning?
Nachla means inheritance of land. Inheritance.
Land?
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually land. But I think that's talking more in terms of Olam Haba terms, so it doesn't mean land, it just means some sort of reward. Yeah, right.
And the Luzbon, is that?
That's the Niskoy and the Luzbon are connected. It's the same, yeah, right. I think there's a few names brought for that bone. There's two. There's another one also I can't remember right now.
Yeah. Bone is the one I always
know. Right. So Mishabur calls it the Niskoy bone. But yeah. I don't know if it makes such a difference.
Is that the same? There's some bones, especially like the bottom of your spine, that the only way that it gets exercised is when you're bowing in Shemona Esrei, right? Have you heard that?
I've heard that.
Yeah. I thought that was what.
Is that where it is?
I don't remember if that's the one. I can look that up. I don't remember if that's the one. I have heard that.
Yeah.
So.
What's the. Rabbi Menowitz had a class here once, I remember, with Modi Menachemach. There's some with the luz or something, like a bone that's over here by the back of your neck.
That's so that's the luz. The luz bone is this bone. That's the same bone.
So that's the same thing you're talking about.
Yeah. Maybe it's the same one. Okay.
Is it happening with Modi Menachemach?
So that's what you're asking. I don't know. It could be the bowing down, maybe, but I don't know.
Just, there was something I remember earlier that refers to that.
Interesting. Okay, we'll check it out. We're moving to davening now, so when we get to davening, we can talk about that part of it. We'll compile all the different loose bone ways to work your loose bone out and give it nutrition. You know, a new exercise routine. Anything else? So let's start talking about tefillah a little bit. Let's do this one.